we've heard all this before, that's a good sign that we need to keep hearing it. So don't everybody panic on me, okay? Just stay with me. So while I was studying this, actually I studied this out a couple of weeks ago, then that thing happened and Megan took over. But this example came to me. Don't panic, okay? This is my shotgun. That's why I wanted it. Because, oh, it's unloaded, by the way. By the way, yeah. I had Sam come and check it and look and do that. It's not one of those shotguns that it breaks down. You know what I mean? Where it falls over. I just thought that sound right there was enough for most people. You walk in my, you start, and then, you know, I can do that, I have to do that. Now that is intimidating, is it not? That's the only thing I know how to do. I don't know how to load it. That's good, right? It's good that I don't know how to load it, and I am not going to point it at you. But I was studying. This is my gun. I don't know much about it, but it is a 20-gauge pump action shotgun. Now I did have to call Jake and ask him what it was. I'm so glad he's not up here. I am so glad. So I said, Jake, what do you call that gun that you guys got me? And it sits in my closet like this, unloaded. You have to click it. Sam told me that. I didn't know that to get it loaded. So it was a gift. I asked for it. This is one of the last gifts that Gavin and the boys got me. It's mine. I've got other guns in the house. You know, it's like you all. We've lost count on how many guns there are. But this one is mine. But like I said, I'm not proficient in using it. Jake and Sam have showed me how I've shot it. I have, you know, I've done that. But I'm not anywhere good, near to being good. I mean, I'm not close. In fact, I just learned how to do that. This is new for me. I'm really liking that. But anyway, Doug's getting the kids. It's like, oh no, let's get the kids up. Doug, you'd know by now this would have a bullet in it thingy. I got lots of bullets. I did have two, but when my brother passed away, my nephews gave me a whole bunch of bullets. But I did have two. The boys let me have two. So, that's true. But I need to practice. You got to practice things to be good at it. Faith is a gift from God also. Faith is a gift from God. We all have been given a measure of God's faith. And what we do with that gift of faith is up to us. This is a gift. Faith is a gift. Now, as a pastor, it's my job to fine-tune our skills, and your job is to receive it and practice. Practice faith. So if I asked Jake or Sam, and they would, to stop by the house each night, and Sam stopped yesterday. He stopped Friday. Mom. You know what I thought? I knew what it was. And I said, no, what, honey? You still do that. He's 27 years old, and you still do that. And he got I wish Doug was here. He's back there. He got a Colt something gun. It's a short one, and it's heavy. But it's Sam's. Do that again. Huh? 45, Colt 45? Yeah. And he's wanted one for a long time. They're very expensive. Sam is a little gun snobby. He likes name brand guns, you know. Some people like name brand clothes, name brand shoes. He likes name brand guns. He's always wanted this Colt. But if I said, would y'all stop by and show me how to shoot this shotgun, they would love that. Because he said, Mom, you want to go out and shoot it? And I said, I do not. Not at all. Because I know one thing, it's big enough, it's going to have quite a bit of kick to it. So, if I practice this, I could probably hit something eventually. You know, not close my eyes, you know, that so thing. And become accurate and comfortable. And I could point it at something and it do its work. And then I'd be ready to tackle the other guns I have that for a while the boys will take. But we become like that with our faith. We practice it. I have got to take this back home. We've got to make a special trip now back to the house. I knew she was slobbering at it. So, but we become like that with our faith. We don't want to be timid to take on bigger faith acts. You know, we might be able to agree for a cold, but are we going to be able to agree for cancer? And you see what I'm saying? So my job is we're going to be skillful, and we're going to be a lot more skillful than I am at that shotgun. And the whole idea is for us to become faith giants. So don't you think the Father God can throw more stuff our way, more prayer requests our way, because he knows this is a church that knows and is skillful with the Word of God. A praying church who knows how to use the Word skillfully, and that's us. That's what we say. So back to the lesson on how to speed up the manifestation of our answer. Why? Why do we want to speed up? Because something we've been real skillful at is slowing it down. We've done that. I've done it. The last thing we want to do is hinder the flow of God's power. God never withholds his flow of power. He never. See, we think it's God withholding something from us, and it's not. It's us not knowing. It's us not being skillful. But we can put things up that block, that hinder the flow of his power. It doesn't stop. We stop it. God isn't limited, but the flow I'm sorry of what he has for us, we can limit. So once we release our faith, once we get up here and we pray, power immediately is activated. You get that? It's just like, remember that prayer that wasn't it Daniel that was praying? God immediately answered it, but the enemy came. But we are living in a new dispensation. So, but anyway, it starts flowing towards our need. The power of God starts flowing. We've got to get the idea. The minute I pray in faith, I believe I receive. Power is flowing to us. Colossians 3:16 says this. This is mine, Chas. Let the word of Christ dwell. Have its home in your hearts and minds, in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in us. So know this, we can speed up the manifestation of our answer by feeding on and having our attention fixed on the word. My Bible is packed away, so I can't don't have here. So just the opposite, one way to slow down the manifestation is by being occupied with our circumstances. Anybody know what I mean by that? Yeah, me. Faith is attached to our attention. What our attention is on is going to affect what we believe. It's either going to strengthen our faith or weaken it. It's just like I said earlier. If we are fixated on 70, we're just going to leave to be 70. I honestly think our body prepares to shut down. If we talk it, we believe it, we read about it, we talk it, we believe it, we read about it, we speak it, it starts. Did you see that 90-some-year-old man in that track race? What? I kept thinking, which one is he? Which one is he? Yeah, he was the one that looked like he was, what, 50-ish? 90-some years old. Somebody told him he wasn't old, and he believed it. Somebody told him he could run in that, and he believed it and did it. So if we are supposed to fill up on the Word, how do we know if we are full of the Word? When it's coming out of us, freely, speaking the Word. We speak the Word from a place of fullness, not half-heartedly. So we give God by words of faith in our mouth to work with. Our words is what God works with, what we say. If the word isn't in our mouth, we're not giving him anything to work with. Because all he works with is what? His word. His word. Now what have I written over here? Oh yeah. This I'm using me for an example. Someone calls me and asks me how I'm doing last week. Now, this is an example. Okay, I didn't do this. How I'm doing. I begin to go into great lengthy details on how I feel. it was coming out the other end. My head hurt, and I had this terrible cough, and I didn't. Are you with me? Never mentioning God. The next person calls and asks the same thing. And once I go in, I'm not done yet. I just can't sleep. I'm having these nightmares, and it's not good, and blah, blah, blah. Every detail. Sorry, Tammy. Tammy had to listen to some of this. And they try to get off the phone, like, okay, see you, Terry. Good talking to you, sister. And I've been praying for you. And it dawns on me. I'm like a deer in the headlights. Not one godly thing has come out of my mouth. That's not being full. Amen? Amen. So the more word we speak, the more we're giving him to work with. One of the things that I did not want. When you don't feel good, a lot of times you don't feel real wordy. Okay, someone, I need you to stay with me because I don't want to be the only one. And so I really was just sleeping a lot. But I was listening. And just scriptures, you know, I knew the scripture. But it said, let the weak say, I'm strong. So people say, how are you doing? The Lord says, I'm strong, so I'm strong. Word says, I'm strong, so I'm strong. And I just begin to say that. Because I didn't really feel like quoting scripture. I'm just going to tell you. But the more we speak, the more we're giving him to work with. The less words that are in our heart and the less we speak, the less we are giving him to work with. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It'll just kick in for you. It really will. Jesus said this in Mark 4:24. I got Mark 4:24. No. Pardon me, honey. Hang on. I'll get my. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Well, it's out of the Amplify, but this will be good enough. Copeland's. I just shut that. Oh, Megan. Huh? Really? Thank you. I was going to ask first. Mark 4. Isn't this wonderful? Mark 4:26. Take heed what you hear. The measure you give will be measured for you. And to you whom will hear will more be given. Okay? Can I just keep this up here? Jesus is saying this to you and me. Be careful what you are hearing. If you start listening to a good teaching and they say something like, you never know what God's going to do. You just never know. Or comes against the living word ignorantly, not in a mean way, but just lack of knowledge, not in line with the word of God, it can cause damage to your spiritual system. It can. I've had people, things on, and I'll just go by, and I'm not listening. I'm not sitting down listening to TV. And something said, and I'll say, what? What did that say? And it'll be contrary against the word of God. And I have to be careful not to think about that. To not think about that. Example, healings passed away. Has anybody ever heard that? Because when I came to church here, besides y'all swinging on the chandeliers, I heard that. I heard that. Miracles no longer happen. That gets in you if you're not careful. Or even, Jesus was poor. Yeah, it takes a while. If you've been taught that, and you've heard that, and you've gone to a poor church, and you had a poor pastor, and he drove an old beat-up truck, not because he thought beat-up trucks were cute, but because that's all, he's humble. That takes a while to get out of you, especially money thing. It's something about the money thing that it's, because I think so many people around here have experienced lack. That's, you know, they can get, oh, yeah, you got healed that time. But the money thing is, it's like it's got a hold. And it says Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. Okay, get off on that. Okay. So remember this. The Word of God is our standard. God is our standard, the Word of God, not even a great preacher. It's the Word of God. So Jesus says, be careful what you are hearing in Mark 4, 24. That lets us know the devil wants to use what we're hearing to try to upset our spiritual system. He will try to insert error and wrong thinking. Sometimes you have people get mad at you if you're telling them they're just barely making their rent, and you really believe what the Word of God says, and you say, you know, can I tell you what you need to do? You need to tithe. They'll get mad. They'll get mad because you don't understand what it's like not to make your rent. You don't understand what it's like to go to Walmart and not know if you have enough money to pay for it. Yeah, we've all been there and done that, I think. But yet that's the answer. That's the answer. Jake talks about that. Okay, so he's trying to get into us and to bring the wrong thinking and error and all that. So be careful what you choose to listen to. Don't feed from random people because they've got an exciting, story or whatever. They can be as off as a goose. You know what? You know, you're sitting there listening and laughing, and the next thing they say something wrong, and you're going, oh, man, look at all these followers. He's good. He says God doesn't heal all the time. You see what I'm saying? It'll bring error. So you got to be wise who you listen to. I mean, I know that I'm probably a little over the top, staying with the faith camp. There's a few others I listen to. I don't even know what he is, but he is funny. But there are things I could think, oh, you're going someplace. He'll bring it back. It's a guy I really think is funny. I might even share some things from him. But I'm very mindful. If when they start talking about health, healing, prosperity, joy, peace, all of that, speaking in tongues, they come against that, turn them off. Jesus, and pray for them. It's not that they're bad, but I can't have anything infect my belief system. So Jesus goes on to say in Mark, the measure of the thought and study you give to the truth or the word that you hear will be the measure or virtue of power. We will be the measure of power or knowledge that comes back to you. Because let me tell you what. You're getting a biopsy done. You got high blood pressure. You don't want someone telling you that Jesus don't heal. You don't want to do that. That's not what you want here. In other words, what you put in is what's going to come back out. We are the ones that measure the flow of power. It's us. And degree of knowledge, how much we give it, how much attention we give it. So the flow of the word in our life is affected by two things. The word we put in and the word we speak out. In and out. In and out. We can't just keep from saying the wrong thing. We can't just keep from saying the wrong thing. We also have to, on purpose, say the right thing. You understand that? Okay, example. I'm being self-righteous. I never talk about not having enough money. That's good, Tara. You're so good. But do I talk about how I will always have all sufficiency for all things, that my God shall supply my needs? See, I can't just not talk about lack. I have to talk about what the Word says about being prosperous. I have to give him something to work with. You guys get that? It's what I put in and it's what comes out. I have more than enough. Or I don't talk about being sick. I don't talk about the symptoms, but do I talk about the health of Jesus? I'm a healed woman. I'm a whole woman. I walk in divine health all the days of my life. See, it's not just that we watch what we say. We have to watch what we give God. We have to watch what comes out. In and out. Everybody say, in and out.
In and out.
Faith comes by hearing, but it does not operate by hearing. That's not how faith operates. Faith comes by hearing, but it operates by speaking and doing. We have to speak. It's released through the speaking and doing. That's how faith is released, by what we do, what we say, what we do in faith. If faith comes in us, it takes no faith to hear the word. It does take faith to do what you hear. Amen. So, Chassie, do you have Mark 11:22? And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. It's my favorite, it's one of my very favorites. Answering faith unto them, have faith in God. Well, in the Greek, what that really means is have the faith of God. Have the faith. You guys know that. The faith that comes to us through the word is not human faith. It's divine faith. It's the faith of God himself. Now, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Amen. Verse 23 in a nutshell tells us this. Talk to things, they will obey you. Talk to things, they will obey you. If you don't want something to come to in your life, if there's something that you don't want, talk to it. Talk to it. If you want something to change in your life, talk to it. I don't like that. I don't like the way I'm going here. Talk to it. There's something over here I want to happen, but it's just not. Talk to it. Call it in. Jesus himself is saying things will obey you. Talk to them. The measure we talk to them is the measure they'll move. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire. That word is desire. Does everybody see that? Desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. In verse 24, it's talking about how to get your desires met. It's not talking about needs. It's talking about desires. That shotgun was a desire, not a need. I don't know how many guns are at the house. 30, 40? I don't know. But I wanted that one. I wanted to go. I just wanted that. Philippians 4:19. You got that, baby? My God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ. Leave that one up for a bit. This is what God told us, what he does about needs. Needs. When a need pops up in your life, tell it this. Need? I already know the future of you. You are already supplied, so I call that supply to come. Amen. We know that it's already met. It's already met. So when your need shows up, it is not the time God goes to work for your need to start making provision for that need. He's already supplied it. The need is already supplied. He's prepared the supply. That supply is waiting for you and me to call it in. When we know God already created provision for our need, we have rest. The struggle's over. We rest. We saw the need. He saw the need before we even knew we had a need. So not only did he see it, he provided for it super abundantly. It may take us by surprise, but not our God. We may be surprised that the car broke down, it was on its last leg, and we thought it was going to last another good 6 months. He's already supplied one. You see what I'm saying? They'll put her faith on it. Did I give you this to put up there, Chassie? The words, desire is anything beyond a need. Go ahead. Is that up there? Desire is anything beyond a need. You just desire something. More. God authorizes you, and he'll back it up. Do you see how good he is? Your desire. It's not just what you need to get by. It's your desire. Okay, what do you desire, Terry? I'll tell you. Now, I haven't really put a lot of prayer into this. side by side? Do you need that, Terry? No. Do you have a Jeep, Terry? Yes, I do. Do you have an old truck that you really like? Yeah, I do. Do you need that side by side? Mm-mm, no. Can I have it? Does it make God mad? Mm-mm. I just really haven't put my faith on it yet. I'm going to. I'm more into really fixing up my house right now. But that's my desire. I mean, I don't have a desire for a lot of things because God's blessed me. I'll just tell you. He's blessed me. Okay, excuse me. So, Jesus has provided healing for us. Here's another example. But you add your desire for wholeness. It's one thing to be healed, but I want to be whole. I want to walk in the divine health that Jesus paid for. So, faith is like currency. I have it right here. Here's my billfold. Tammy's got me stuck on these things where you put your phone and your billfold is on here. She didn't mean to get me stuck on this. But let's just say I pull out a $100 bill and I spend this baby. I can do that. Actually, these don't go that far. You go out with Tammy and they're gone. They're just, I don't know what happens. We eat, we go to TJ Maxx. Anyway, so here's what happens. You spend this and it just goes away. It didn't automatically show back up in my purse. It's gone. It's gone. And it doesn't automatically appear. So you spend faith, you feed on it, and you got to put it back in. Faith just doesn't, like if I use my faith to get well this last week, I got to replace that faith. I can't just let my faith get low and run dry. I've got to put it back in my purse. I've got to put more money back in the next time I go out and eat with somebody and go to TJ Maxx. So faith is a living thing, and it needs to be moving. We're not like an old green scum. In and out, in and out. Proverbs 4:20 in the New Living Testament says, "My child, pay attention to what I say and listen carefully to my words." It doesn't do us any good to feed on the word and then we get out and let our attention be on the circumstances. It doesn't. We have to stay focused. We're talking about speeding up our manifestation, okay? We feed on the word so our attention will be on the word. Okay, so I'm going to leave you with one more example on being skillful. The Bible says that we call those things that be not as though they were. We know that. The Amplified says, speak of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if it already existed. So we talk about something that doesn't exist as if it did exist. You say, well, you're lying. No, you're not. That's what the Bible says. He said, that's how God created the world. There wasn't light, but he spoke light. There wasn't water, but he spoke water. To call means to summon. It means to subpoena. You get a subpoena, you're going to show up. If you want to know where your life is headed, listen to the words coming out of your mouth. You got Proverbs 6:2? You have been snared by the words of your mouth, trapped by the words from your mouth. Okay, I'm going to just one more time. You have been snared by the words of your mouth, trapped by the words of your mouth. A snare is nothing more than a trap. Picture this. When you are speaking negative words, you are literally trapping yourself into the very thing that you don't want to happen. This is the trap. This is just a snare. So when you are looking at your situation or your desire or your want, but when you go, I'll give you an example, but when you go, at this rate, I'll never get out of debt. You're trapped. You just trapped yourself in this ugly, ugly, will be impossible. I haven't been on a date in a year. Now, this is not me, okay? I guess I'll never get married. You just trapped yourself. Number three. No matter what I do, I can't lose weight. I don't care what I do. I can starve myself to death. Trap. Trap. I'll never get over this sickness. Trap yourself. This is what the living Word of God says not to do. Don't do this. Don't get trapped by the snare of your words. Don't let your words trap you. So we speak the desired destiny. You want to be skillful. Don't get caught up in this trap. To speed up your manifestation, feed on the Word of God. In and out. In and out. Keeping our attention on the Word. Speak the word of faith. Guard what you hear. Don't just say the wrong thing. Say the right things. Say the right things. And don't let your words trap you. Amen? Okay, I'm done. How about that?